Next, we have our regular local history spot, written and read by Richard Matthew. He is going to tell us about the residents of King Street in the 1950s to the 1980s.
Not only is the Chatterbox office and recording studio in King Street in Norwich, where this is being recorded, but King Street has a rich history. Last month, I told you about Dragon Hall, built in the 15th century. And in an earlier feature, I gave you some extracts from a book called Hard Up Street, about life in King Street in Norwich before and after the Second World War. Today's feature is also about life in King Street, but mostly in the post-war period. You will hear accounts by a variety of different people who were interviewed in 2012 by a project called King Street Community Voices, and the accounts are transcriptions of the original recordings. The first speaker is Sister Pamela of the All Hallows Community, a community of Anglican nuns based near Bungay, but who, until 2018, had a house in Rouen Road, just off King Street. Our community has been in Norwich for over 100 years. We originally had a house on Burr Street. In those days, before Rouen Road was created, there were little lanes running down the hill. One sister worked in each parish of the city, so we had a sister working at St Julian's, St Etheldreda's, and St Peter Parmentergate. After the Second World War, the church had been bombed, and Watney's wanted the area opposite the church, where we had a little house, so they built this one for us. We were very involved with St Julian's Church and the local people. 1973 was the 600th anniversary of Mother Julian's revelations, her visions, and people came from all over the world for that. We had services, lectures, exhibitions, and a wonderful silent procession of witness from the cathedral, the whole length of King Street, to St Julian's Church. Interest in Julian of Norwich has snowballed, and this house has turned from a parish house into a guest house. The second account is by Pat Winsdale, who grew up in Synagogue Street. It was named after the synagogue, which was here at the junction with Mountergate, and was destroyed in the Norwich Blitz of 1942, as was St Julian's Church. My family moved to 14 Synagogue Street in 1953, when I was 2 years old. My father worked at Morgan's, later Watney's, brewery, and they owned the houses there. It was a terraced house. The kitchen opened onto the backyard. There was an outside toilet. Off the hall was a living room and the front room. Upstairs, my parents had the huge front bedroom, and my brother and I shared another double bedroom. We had good times as children at school. There were lots of characters around then. Black Anna, who ran a pub on Burr Street, used to bring her granddaughter down to the school gates, and we'd run away because we thought she was a witch because of her shape and size, all dressed up in black with the mantilla and everything. Quite frightening for young children of 7 and 8. Linda Jones was born in the building next door to Dragon Hall. I was born in 1944 at my father's baker's shop in King Street, later Bennett's Electrical Shop. He'd taken over the business from his father, who had died in 1928. We had the shop in the front, at the left as you look from St Julian's Alley, and to the right of that was my father's bake office, which housed two big working surfaces and a coal-fired oven which never went out. He got up at 4 every morning, having gone to bed after midnight, having put his doughs on to prove, and he would bake all morning. Mother would open the shop at 9 o'clock, and there would be rolls for all the little businesses round here, ready at 9 o'clock, still hot. After lunch and asleep, he would start his deliveries to customers all over Norwich who had been rehoused from King Street to council estates but still wanted his bread. Irene Robbins was also born in King Street. I was born in 1920 in King Street, where my parents kept the Keel and Wherry Inn and later moved to Argyle Street to bring up my family. My first memory is going to Horns Lane Infant School, and my fear of passing the huge brewery horses from Young's, all loaded up and ready to start work. They were Clydesdales, and they would have their nose bags on while they had their breakfast. If they shook their heads or sneezed, I thought it was the end of the world. Mother used to watch me along the road to see that I got past them safely. You could get everything you needed in the King Street shops. There was a butcher's, fish shop, Hayden's the baker's, and everybody delivered. The milkman brought the milk round in a churn, measured out in a little measure. You would be cleaning the pub in the morning, so he would come in and start to read your paper. Then the horse would put its head in the door, as much as to say, "That's time we moved." Bakers also had horse-drawn carts. It wasn't a lonely street. People would sit on their doorsteps on warm evenings, knitting or whatever, or bring a chair out from the yards. Children played out in the street after tea, hoopla, marbles, swing on lampposts, skipping. There was not much traffic then, and no buses or trams on King Street. That last extract tells you how King Street was very much a self-sufficient community in those days. I was told by one of the interviewers that when she asked an old lady if she went into the city very often, the lady replied, "Oh, no, we didn't need to go to Norwich."